I'm Ivy.
I'm Rachel, and we are Swords and Sapphics, a podcast all about representation, queer media, women with a capital W, and a little bit of nonsense.
So start sharpening your swords, sip your tea, and join us as we obsess over the wonderful beings that are women.
We have some tea today.
And we've decided to put it into one episode because time, lads, time.
We may or may not have recorded this to be in the other episode.
May or may not. If you look in the video, we may or may not look the same.
Look, I had a big brain moment, okay, because clearly we've been struggling with the episodes. And
clearly. By the way, in the second episode of the season, we had to cut out 20 minutes. Which I still have on the side and will not be ever usable again. Thank you.
Oh, because it was about Harry Styles at the Grammys and that's been and gone, lads. That's been and gone. But we figured like when we have the good tea.
Which we'll today.
We did today. We'll just put it in the next episode because we were doing every other week. And we'll keep to that unless we have good tea, in which case we'll be uploading the week
extra
after.
Tea hour.
Bonus content. Extra tea hour is a great title.
Thank you.
That's what we'll call it.
I just come up with it on the spot in my brain.
That's what we're calling it. The extra tea hour.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? To me, it's literally just 5 o'clock.
Oh, well.
Kismet.
We can play Fortnite after this then.
Oh, yeah. I'm a shark. Anyway, I have a shark skin on Fortnite, and it makes me very happy. But that's not what we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's not.
Back to the thing.
That's not the tea.
Not the tea.
That's just a fun, quirky thing.
It is. I feel it's worthy of a mention, because I've been waiting for so long.
Also, I'm a rabbit. I have a little scuff on my bum, and I'm plus sized.
Great. Yeah, her thighs. Mm. I have a little shark on my back.
She does. She really does. I've seen it in my own two eyes.
And it's honestly the happiest I've been when I'm falling on Fortnite and my little baby shark on my back, like its fin does, you know, in the wind. Like it makes me very happy. Yeah. Anyway. That's my personal little sip of the tea.
We digress.
Yeah.
We're diving into some book community tea because as always there is some. Mm-hmm. And as always we're tired and we have a lot to say. We have a lot of thoughts. Yeah. So we're diving in. What's the tea, Ivy?
Where to start? I'm going to try not to be as specific and just go generally. Basically it all started with a tweet.
As it always does
every single time. What was said was basically there was put a fun art of a Sapphic trilogy, and the person that tweeted it disliked how a little like representation is there in the series. Well, that's how we interpreted it, the tweet anyway. They said it was like in general publishing. Anyway, I retweeted it with saying that like it's strange to me that because there is, we can all like without hesitation say there is a lot of issues in traditional publishing. There are a lot of marginalized groups that are not given the same opportunities. But and it's weird for me to put the blame on this one writer, white Sapphic writer, and that she will never be able to bring you all the diversity there is. Mm-hmm. Nor honestly does she really own it to people. Like that's the issue I sort of have too, is because when you're writing and you want to see what you missed, you write your experiences and yep. what you wish to see. And you don't owe people to... You owe people to be inclusive.
Yeah.
But you don't owe people to write to fit every representation there is. Especially, why would you want to read a story like of queer people of color from a white writer? Yeah, just basically, why would you go to a white writer and want her to do a stories based on like around queer people of color? Like, go to queer people of color. They're writing it. The stories are out there. If you want to read it, then go to them. Support them.
Yeah.
Rather than expect that from a white person. Like, it's weird to put the blame of the entire industry that lies on the industry itself to one single person.
Yes.
And we've talked about it before. Like, if it feels like, especially queer creators who made it in some way, are much more criticized for not doing enough.
Yeah.
Than any other group. And it feels strange to me that instead of being like, great, we have that, now let's, we have another group that has never seen themselves represented, let's push them up.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, oh, this has been horrible, never, like, I'm overreacting now, but like, never should have been made. Like, why is this there when I don't have anything, right? It's a weird, complicated discussion to have.
And that thing, we completely acknowledge that. Like, we've both engaged in that discussion on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And we, like, very much acknowledged, like, that it was complicated and that everybody has different opinions. But somehow it still wasn't received well.
Yeah. The thing is, like, what we said, what we stand by still, is that there is a lot of content to be pushed forward, mm-hmm. but not for the sake of like what's already there for other marginalized groups.
Yeah.
And again, we said it before, like, if you will never ever be able to find a representation in quotes that will fit you in the way that the person looks, in the way that the person acts, and the way that the person had like in their experiences of the character, like, mm-hmm. you will never be able to find a piece of media that is specifically tailored to you, and expecting that will just lead for your disappointment. Like, that's not reality.
Yeah,
straight people don't have that. That's just not possible. That's not physically possible to do it unless you're the one writing it for yourself.
Yeah, but even then, it will, like, it's yours, and so someone else will be like, well, that's not representative of my experience.
Yeah.
And it never stops, because somewhere along the way we've kind of forgotten, even with queer creators, which we have worked so hard to get and have wanted for so long, we forget that they're actually just people, and that, like, it's nobody's responsibility to give you every single representation or aspect of diversity that they can possibly give. Because if you're writing for that purpose, if you're writing only to get diversity points and for everyone to say, oh, well, there's this identity and this identity, then it becomes inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there to tell a story. It's there just to say it's there.
And ask yourself, isn't it better to read what you like, the story that you want about yourself, again, and like from a person that shares the experiences,
yeah,
to make them more authentic? Like,
that's been a discussion in the book community for years now. Like, mm-hmm. white people should not be writing from the perspectives of people of color. Absolutely not, because it's not their experience and it's not theirs to profit off. And we know historically that white people will profit off it more than the own voices who also try to get the work out there, because white people have more opportunities in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and they're more likely to give you bad representation. So surely, if you search for creators who share your experience, your community, your identity, that's more beneficial to you than criticizing a white cis woman for writing white cis characters.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that complicated to me.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. But I don't know. Like, I was accused of, like, not acknowledging my privilege and, like, saying suck it up. But I think the frustration lies in the fact that people are always like, oh, well, I want this book. I want a queer book like this with all these tropes and blah, 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 blah. But they don't touch those books because they don't exist in the traditional publishing community. They exist in the indie community. And there's a lot more diversity to be found there. But people don't want to touch indie books. So they say they want these books, but they won't support them when they happen, which is another problem in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, if we have seen something, like, one thing with traditional publishing in the past 2 years or so, it's very clearly that if indie book gets famous and very clearly profitable, that only that's when mm-hmm. they will care about it and purchase it.
Yeah.
And purchase more like it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not going to read indie books, don't expect them to find similar ones yeah. in the traditional publishing space. Like,
we're in a very unique position now that I don't think we've ever been in before, where you actually do have the power to push books into traditional publishing. Whereas before, it was always the agents and the authors' job to query and to get that work out there. It's now you can also help do that now. Mm-hmm. Because if a book, an indie book, gets enough attention, then it's more likely to be taken from by a publisher and published yeah, yeah. widely.
And it all starts with the power of a word. Like, if you love the book that not many people knows and you shout about it enough and it gets to the right hands, it will just spread like a little plague.
Yeah.
Until at last it will be in a bookstore. Like, it's very, it feels very obvious and simple.
Yeah.
Not simple, but it feels very clear.
Yeah. But, like, but there are just people out there who kind of always want to be the most marginalized person in the room. Mm. And that's kind of what we encountered today.
Yeah.
Without being specific about it, like, you can't win arguments. Like, you can't have discussions with everybody in the community because there seems to be kind of this misdirected anger, and they kind of miss the nuance of the conversation and who they should be directing it towards, because they're going after an individual author. The problem lies in the system and in the industry. Like, the word diversity, I feel like we need to talk about that as well, because to me, like, it isn't just a label, like sapphic, queer, non-binary, autistic, plus size, disabled, black, Jewish, whatever. Those are not, like, those identities, ethnicities, etc., they are not the only things that can make a story diverse for me. Like, a lot of books are diverse without even featuring, like, queer characters or whatever, because if they explore a certain experience that hasn't been explored before, very often before, that isn't, like, a popular narrative in mainstream fiction, then that to me is still quite diverse. For me, Delilah Green is diverse because, like, it's a single mother. She dresses alternatively. They both dress alternatively. Like, they both have very, like, specific issues to overcome within the story that I've not read in that specific way in a romance before.
Honestly, to me, because there was a the storyline was based on basically the siblings.
And
that, to me, spoke more than the fact that they were queer, because I have a complicated relationship with my sibling, to put it lightly. Yeah. And it was, I sobbed through the entire, like, every time the storyline was the main focus. That, to me, was more even more important than the fact that I was queer. That was just a nice touch, but
yeah there are lots and lots of like of course we always jump at the chance to consume sapphic media, like, this is what the whole podcast is about, but we're also fans of a lot of things. Like, for instance, Ted Lasso wasn't necessarily the most diverse thing in the world when it began. Like, obviously, we're getting more diverse characters now. But it still felt diverse in the fact that they were humanizing football players and not just making them masculine stereotypes. They all had characters. They weren't all like the stereotype you expected from a football player. And that to me was diverse. Like, even yeah. just having a football manager like Ted Lasso, and rather than traditional like macho kind of guys, that's like, that's still diverse to me. Like, breaking any binary or boundary or role or like construct is diverse.
Do you remember when there was suddenly some break and there were many books based around like fangirls, fan fiction?
Yeah.
Just people enjoying what you're enjoying. Like, yes. just the openness of like the community and fandom, like the acceptance of it, because until then, like, boo-hoo, you were a nerd, yeah. shame on you. And suddenly it was this nice quirk that you could share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And just that was, yeah, that was like,
yeah,
something new and exciting and accepting in that sense. Like,
maybe even going so far as like the love hypothesis. I know that like she's on the A spectrum, but taking that away, it's still based around like a woman in science.
Yeah.
And it's a love story set in like around science. Like, that's yeah. that's not something that we got a lot of before then. Like, there are so many diverse stories out there, stories that you haven't read before and experiences that you haven't read before. So if you're kind of judging a book only by what identities it will offer you and what representation it will offer you without really delving into the story itself, you're really reducing that book, that story that an author's put a lot of work into a label.
Also, do you really care about inclusivity or what it brings you?
Yeah.
Right, so like, if you're gonna be like, oh, these suffix are not like me, do you really care about suffix in general or just about you?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to read diversely, you have to read diverse characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that will not always be like you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like we always celebrate any diversity we find. Like, celebrating any bit of diversity in the industry is okay, you know? Like, you don't have to look for something to criticize in everything. And if you do, figure out what you're angry about and why and where to direct that anger. Because, again, it's usually systemic.
And also, like, the thing is, we're all sort of in this together, like, that there's a reason why we call community, but it doesn't feel like that because we're constantly, like, just being pitted against each other. And, like, instead of supporting each other and being happy for each other and then be like, okay, great, you got this, now let's help me get this. You're like, oh, no, you got this, but I don't want that.
Mm.
Like, there is a big difference. And I feel like when we started talking, when the conversation began about a representation and that sort of idea of a good representation, that there was some sort of mistranslation of like, you want good, and by that it means your own instead mm-hmm. of authentic.
Yeah.
And not based on stereotypes, even though, like, let's be honest, the stereotypes sometimes are there for a reason. Like, sometimes I'm sometimes stereotypical when it comes to being bisexual, but like, it yeah, good doesn't always equal authentic, I guess.
Yeah. And I just think that these the kind of the people who are like, well, it doesn't have this and this and this, are never going to be completely satisfied, because there's no way for anybody to meet every single need that they have. I do feel like readers have become kind of under the impression that authors write for them only, and that it's their responsibility to give them everything. But at the end of the day, it's all just art, man. It is.
Yeah.
Writing's a very solitary process. Like, being an author is a lot about what happens in your own brain, even if you try to step out of it. Like, you can't give everyone everything they want. And you can, like, that's the thing. If you're not getting that from one author who's just minding their business and trying to provide some positive representation, then go to another one. Like, I don't know why we need to tear people down.
Also, specifically with this one, like, one person responded with, "This is very narrow representation of our experience." I'm like, who's though? Like, our as the entire community? Because no, to me, that was the most I've ever felt represented. Mm-hmm. And I wish that for you. And let's find the books that will do that for you. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what, I don't know any words to use to describe this, but like.
Yeah. We were saying as well that, like, it wasn't that long ago that the only representation of lesbians in general we had were, like, aggressively lesbian, like, short hair, like, butch demeanor. Like, so for us, like, having feminine sapphics, that feels like we've been represented, and that's a good thing for us. And there's a lot of sapphics out there who maybe didn't feel queer enough before, and they kind of can mm-hmm. see themselves now. And mm-hmm. that's not to say that, like, well, we're fine, so you should be happy as well. But mm-hmm. like, for me, like, getting the emergence of, like, femme sapphics is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, there should be more variation and diversity, but that's not one author's job to do.
It feels that, and I had the same thing, like, with, like, Wednesday too, like, just because sometimes people forget what good it brings to other group that is not you.
Yeah.
So it feels very, like, in that sense, sort of, like, self-centered to your own, like, marginalization, or yeah. however you pronounce it, and, like, your own issue, instead of, like, being like, okay, yes, I see how I can bring you to, like, other group and make them feel, like, accepted. And
yeah, because a lot of people are saying that, like, there wasn't enough people of color in it, right? But the main family, well, yeah. the main character is Latina.
Yeah, the main family is, yeah.
Yeah, except,
yeah. Catherine Zeta-Jones, which is something that I'm still shocked about.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like, but that's, it's yeah. just, there seems to be a thing of, like, never enough. And I get mm-hmm. it, like, we all mm-hmm. wish for more representation. Like, I was saying, with the mental health thing with Ted Lasso, like, it's not my experience, like, that it relies on a lot of close-ups of Ted shaking hands for when he has anxiety attacks. And I do think that it's more complex than that, and it deserves to be represented more complexly based on my experiences. But, like, you have every right to say that, but when you start, like, attacking every piece of media, even when when people are trying to do it, that, like, I can acknowledge it's good that we were even having that conversation, whether I think it's represented well or not. And it, like, especially with authors, with, like, it's not the same as visual media anyway. Like, we do get torn down a lot by other people in the community, especially queer authors. And, like, there just needs to be a way to have these discussions, but, like, know who to hold accountable when you're not getting what you need from it. And acknowledging that you're not always going to get what you need from something, and that's okay. Like, talk about it, but talk about it in a respectful way, and, like, don't treat people like they're the worst people ever for just not giving you what you need, because it just doesn't work like that. That's just not the way of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just it's just a very odd environment to be in as, like, an author and a reader at the minute. That just is always discourse, and I don't think we acknowledge, like, how far we've even come so far. And yeah, there's still miles to go.
Without doubt, but it just, I guess that is, like, in the sense of
my privilege, but I also like want to sometimes take a breath and enjoy what we already achieved and what we have.
Right. Yeah.
And without like having to be constantly like trying to find the negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, again, if we do find the negatives, there's other people to read from and other media to consume. And again, like, some of it is your responsibility as well. It's not going to fall in your lap sometimes. And yeah, we're very privileged in particular because we're both white. So we never not seeing versions of us on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we're also like, we have a lot of dimensions to us that we never see, like ADHD and autism and our experiences of queerness, which is not like everybody else's.
And our body sizes.
Yeah, our body sizes is a big one, yeah.
And also, and I lost it.
It's gone.
Yeah, again, just really, again, if you're looking for something that is tailored specifically for you, you will never find it.
Yeah.
There's just...
It's just... It's a lot.
You can hold writer accountable. We should hold people accountable.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But not put a blame on them for what is a systematic issue.
Somebody said, like, it's harming me. This author is harming me because they're not giving me the representation that I want. And... like, people don't get the nuance because that author is not doing anything to harm that person. What's harming them is the lack of diversity in the industry that they are unable to get, that they're unable to, like, have in their hands. So it's not, it's sad and they shouldn't feel that way, but it's not the author who's doing the damage. Like, it's just, that's what I mean. It's just learning to who to hold accountable and why. Mm-hmm. And like
directing your anger, rightful anger, the correct way.
Yeah.
Like, look back before pandemic, like 2018, when you constantly saw like there was very little sapphic books. Like, it started around 2019 to be like more and more. Thank God. But I do remember even I was one of the people where like I cannot find anything sapphic. Like, there's nothing. Even though like indie writers were already doing it, and I'm guilty of that. Like, I kept complaining without actually doing the research and looking for what I wanted, and when I did, it was too expensive for me to buy and like do that. But
because at the end of the day, it should be readily available. Of course, it should.
Yeah,
but like. That's not reality, part of that. No, it's not reality. And as a, if you choose to be an active member of the book community and you choose to kind of enter discourses about this, that of like kind of directing anger towards specific individuals, then you also need to be ready to accept the facts that if you can put time and energy into that argument, then you can put it into finding the right books and supporting the right people for you. I do just kind of worry that we're losing the meaning of diversity, like what the word means, that's all. Long story short, let's just have room for multiple conversations. I think the thing that we're upset about most about this conversation is not that the original tweet happened, because we probably wouldn't be talking about it if it had. No, it's the fact that we were then attacked for sharing a different perspective where we was like, hold publishers accountable. And we were like, I was then accused of like not caring about different varieties of sapphicness and only caring about my cis white, you know, sapphicness and not like, and talk like, it was just a whole thing. And
interesting.
Was interesting to say the least. I think some people don't even know why they're upset half the time.
You know what? Sometimes you're having a discussion and sometimes you are having an one-sided argument that they are convinced they won and will not let anything pass. Like,
they throw that... What the thing they do when they don't agree with you is they throw around that word privilege. As though you're a problem just for having privilege, and that's not how it works. Having the fact that people have privilege is a problem. The fact that society privileges people is a problem. Sitting in a privilege and just minding your own business and doing what you can to be aware of it and be aware of social issues, that's not a problem. You're not a problem for having privilege. It's what you do with it that becomes the problem. When I said something that they didn't want to agree with, it then became, oh, but you're privileged, so you don't get to say. But I'm also in the book community. I'm also a sapphic author. I also know what it's like to write queer identities and other identities. And therefore, I felt like I had a place in that conversation.
Queer, period. It's your community. It should be your space to talk about it.
Yeah.
Just accept people have different, what's the word? You said it before. Views, no, perspectives.
Yeah.
People have different perspectives on things, and that's okay. Yeah. And they can't coexist without taking from each other. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, all was resolved. Like, we both talked to the original poster with the original problem. And I was like, well, they said that they were just tweeting for their followers. And I was like, well, apologies for that, because Twitter is a place where you do tweet something random and you don't expect it to blow up, and then it does. And you have to question everything and whatever. And I was like, well, I'm sorry that that happened, and I don't agree, but, like, I understand. And that was that. But then somebody else came into the mix, and they just wanted to argue. They wanted to fight. They wanted to be rude. And so they did all those things. They twisted my words. They subtweeted me. They told other people not to follow me. It was just a thing.
But hey, they called you an author, though.
Call me an author. They were like, this sapphic author is blocked. And I was like, yeah, bitch, I'm an author.
Now you are known as a sapphic author.
Yes,
I can. How does that feel now?
Oh, and that was another thing. She tweeted, I don't trust cis sapphics anymore. And I was like, well, that in itself is fucking the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. Because if my actions, this one person's actions, have impacted the way you view all cis sapphic authors, well, like, what? Like, we have privileges. We're still part of the community. And we still face our own challenges as sapphic authors. So, like, what are you trying? Whose equality are you trying to achieve? Just yours, it feels like, right now.
Yeah. It's just exactly the type of person that wants just for, like, that one thing for themselves. Mm-hmm. Even though I take a look at their Instagram, and they're promoting books that are already, don't need more promoting. Except, oh, like, what?
Guys, if you do lists and recommendations of books, I'm begging you to include books that people have not heard of yet or have not grabbed yet. We've all read One Last Stop. I promise you, it doesn't need to go in any more books. We've all read it.
We know about Heartstopper. We love it, but we know about it already.
We know about that. We read that. Even Delilah Green doesn't care. Yes, we know. It was published by Piatkus, however you say it. That's one of the biggest romance publishers. We know about it, man. If you really want to, like, help queer authors in the community, I'm begging you, please include more books by marginalized authors and indie authors. Like, I can't express this enough, please, because it's also a bit disheartening. I can't lie. Yeah. Like, full disclosure, full honesty, when my book isn't included in lists, I'm like, oh, I haven't made it yet. But it's just, we've read One Last Stop, my loves. And also,
yeah,
Casey McQuiston is a non-binary sapphic author who wrote a Chinese character and said there was no longer racism in modern day America. That's not good representation, by the way. So you're asking people to write representation, and then you're angry when it's not good, and just stay in your, let people stay in their lanes. I have a lot to say now. I'm gonna stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at because someone responded with a Twitter account and also a website called iHeart Suffolk.
Oh yeah, Suffolk Fic, yeah.
Yeah. And they have they do lists.
They do, do like the authors do kind of sign up to be on their database. So like it is a great resource for indie sapphic authors especially. So yeah, that's so a good place to start. Absolutely, that's the thing. There are blogs for like a lot of readers have blogs, a lot of reviewers have blogs. Like there's such specific things these days that there's absolutely no way you can't find something that you identify with.
Like take a what's their name when we had them for Christmas, Huxley Jones.
Oh, Lizzie Huxley Jones. Yeah,
yeah. They have a list of books with autism, either with autistic characters or written by autistic writers.
Yeah,
there's so you if you look, if you actually look, you will find something.
Honestly, there are so many authors doing so much good, and the further I delve into the community, the more I see it. Like there are so many. And if you give it a bit of patience, it's so fucking worth it for what you'll find there. But it's just, you do, like, we do need help. If we're going to keep writing books that include representation you're looking for, like, we do need help. A lot of people do need help to get their stuff out there because it's just not easy.
And look, we're also happy to help you with it. Like, if you don't know where to start looking, feel free to DM us. Feel free to like contact us. We can give you recommendations all day long. We have a bunch of them. We know people. We post, heard about something the very least.
We post.
We do lists every month. I mean,
and we're constantly involved in indie events as well. Like we did Queermas, and we're doing the Indie Author Spring Festival. Like there's no way on earth that you're not gonna find a book that you don't get.
Well, that was our tea.
I hope you enjoyed it. Slurpy slurped it all up. It
was piping hot.
Piping, yeah. Like my rage today. Female rage is real.
Anyway.
Anywho.
See you next week. But yes, go on.
To support women's rights.
Most importantly, support women's wrongs. Unless. There's a lot of unless. Like, I don't feel like I cover it. Listen to the episode again if you need unlesses.
Unless they do literally anything we just talked about.
Yeah. Imagine how tired we are. So, we shall see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. Thank you for listening to Swords and Sapphics. You can enjoy a new episode every Wednesday.
While waiting, you can visit our website, swordsandsapphics.com, and find lots of articles, interviews, and guest pieces.
Feel free to contact us with any requests, questions, or inquiries through a form on our website or directly to our email, swordsandsapphicspodcast@gmail.com.